and your loving care. Now I am your child, I am adopted in your family, and I will never be alone. For Father God, you there beside me, I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises, Lord, forevermore. I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises, Lord, forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. I want to thank God for this beautiful day. And at the same time, I want to say happy and blessed New Year to you are here, and those who are not here, they receive it as well. I'm sure you're going to pass it on. Well, sure. Can we stand together? I didn't plan to sing because you were, you know, going around and having your time. So I just thought, let the music flow. And somebody came in swinging. So that's how it must be, you know. In with the flow you go. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that we have a privilege to call upon your name. Because, Lord, whenever your name is mentioned, demons tremble. And, Lord, whenever we call upon your name, Lord, sick bodies get healed. And Lord, when we ask anything in your name, we will receive it and it shall be done. So Lord, thank you that you brought us together this morning. You woke us up. We live and move and have our being. And Lord, we thank you for the very breath and strength. Father, as we are here together, Lord, it is not we that brought ourselves, you by your Spirit, you led us, you carried us, Lord. And therefore now, Lord, as we will sing unto you, Lord, I pray that you will be glorified, that you will receive our worship and praise in the name of Jesus. So bless the entire service, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We can sing together our first song.
I lift my hands to the coming King, to the great I am, to you I sing, for you're the one who reigns within my heart, and I will serve no foreign God.
Spirit will
Yes, Lord, we bring our sacrifice of praise and worship unto you, Lord. We lift your name up this morning, Lord. We give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Our next song. After this song, you can be seated. Is it really your desire this morning? He's here, he's searching us.
This is my desire to
that you are welcome already. Some more is coming in, but we thank God that she made it. I just want to share this little note. It was the 1st of January, myself, last year, myself and Sunetha and another Unita went for the camp in Kanonko. And so we were getting some books, we can take it. Then I took it, but then it's a new for the new year, and I felt I should keep it one side. And so the new year is here, and I picked it up. And the Lord woke me up on that day, the 1st of January, the thought, let incense arise. And I'm up. Now I know. Incense of worship. Incense of praise. Or prayer. So I freshened myself and I went to the lounge. And I took the book along. And I started to do what I felt in my heart. And when I opened the book, this is only God. I will bless you. A prayer of praise. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Father, you are so worthy of it all, my attention, praise, worship, and love. Your works are amazing, beyond anything I can ever express. Help me to be a light that shines toward you today. It is often hard for me to stand out from the world and be different. Give me the courage to make your goodness known and to never be ashamed. Please give me peace to my friends who are standing up for you and as a result have found themselves friendless or with few who understand them. I thank you for your wonderful works and all that you have done and will do. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, amen. What caught my attention was, Father, you are worthy of all praise, worthy of it all, my attention, praise, worship, and love. And you know, I was thinking, incense of praise. I know that fit in a particular song. And I was searching, and I want to get a hold of Elmo. I was searching, and it came, you are worthy of it all. And I would love, you know, one day we must sing that song because he is worthy of it all. Not the one that we know, it's one that we will practice. He's worthy of it all. Amen. I'm leaving this moment open. If there's anyone that wants to give thanks to God or whatever is on your heart you want to express.
Good morning to you all, and wishing you a happy and prosperous new year. Amen. Before I read from the Bible, I just want to give a brief announcement. I'll be going to Pretoria, if God willing, by Thursday, and I'll miss Sunday church. And if God willing, maybe either Monday or Tuesday, I'll be back. Amen. So please remember me in your prayers for traveling messes. Amen. I would like to share this with you in the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 21, verse 3. It can also be found in the Gospel according to St. Luke 19:31. And it says, if anyone says anything to you, say that Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Amen. When you have time, you can read from verse 1. That is 21, verse 1. Downwards, you understand for time factor. This is what Christ is telling us this year. Amen. That among all the children of Israel, none of us are useless. None of us are not, nobody is, don't even blame yourself or undermine yourself that you are not an important person. Because this verse we just read is about the donkey. And this donkey, according to the Bible, the owner of the donkey thought the donkey was so useless that he tied the donkey, left the donkey in the sand. For a very long time, this donkey was in the sun, in the rain, whatever, for a long time. But this donkey was the donkey among all the beautiful animals, like elephant, horse, you name them, camel, etc., etc. Christ chose this donkey. He sat on this donkey. That's the triumphant of where he entered into Jerusalem. It was this donkey. So God can use you, God can use me. Let us avail ourselves this year. Let us have fellowship with ourselves, with the Lord, every meeting hour. And the Lord will use you. And I pray that allow yourself for God to use you to win souls for the kingdom. Because those who win souls for the kingdom, crowns await them. crowns, a very special reward await them. So don't worship God anyhow this time, because the Lord needs you as he used the donkey. Avail yourself for the good Lord to use you as he used the donkey for his glory. Amen.
Amen. Colin was sharing about our praise is like incense unto the Lord. Amen. Okay. Just remember, our praise going up in the bowl of incense, our worship and praise is going up, and it's like a fragrance in God's nostrils and a sweet sound in his ears. We can stand together and sing our next song.
For me, I'm God shall supply all I Goedemorgen. In good morning. I spent 3 days with my wife at home while she's now retired. And I enjoyed it. And I spent quite a few days with Christopher last week and the week before. And I also enjoyed it. And something that I realized at home, we speak a lot of English and then it changed to Afrikaans because I'm a Boerken and she's English. And when I speak to Christopher and we sat at home last week, it also happened. Then we speak Afrikaans, the other one answers in English. And so it carried on, but we understood each other. So I thought, the prayer that I picked this morning, I will give you English and Afrikaans.
Thank you.
Jesus, gaan voor ons uit in 2026.
Amen.
Jesus, go ahead of us in 2026. Berei ons harte en geloof vir dit wat ons nog nie kan sien nie. Prepare our hearts and our faith for what we cannot see. Lei ons stap vir stap. Gee ons vrede en leer ons om elke dag te vertrou. Lead us step by step. Give us peace and teach us to trust in you every day. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mervyn is going to do the intercession. But you know what I want to tell you, beloved? Really, if God's word tells us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And we must now in this new year, we as individuals, we must really listen to the voice of God. En ek wil vanmorgen gesing het Afrikaanse liedjes. Jy's in die kol. En ons gaan dit wakker maak. We're gonna shake. Ons gaan dans. We're gonna dance. Yes, praise the Lord. It's not for the flesh. It's for the Spirit of God. So, God bless you. And over to Mervyn.
Good morning. I need to give you a little bit of context about my intercession today. Last year, in fact, 2 or 3 days before I did my first intercessory prayer, I lost my brother. He was not a saved person. We had not spoken for 3 years. And I felt very little sorrow at his going, but the Lord convicted me the day after to say, Mervyn, you didn't fight for his soul, did you? And I think we have a lot of people around us, friends, family, who are not saved. And it's for these people that I want to pray today. I'm going to name a couple of people that are dear to me, and I urge you that if the Holy Spirit moves you, to add the names to the prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for those, our close friends and family, all who have not accepted you as their Savior. We pray that you will remove the obstacles that stand in their way. If they are atheists, we pray that you will reveal yourself to them and open their eyes to your glory. If they are mired down in the influence of a secular and materialistic environment, awaken their spirituality. If they prefer to lean on scientific argument, reveal to them the wonders of your creation. If they do not grow up in a loving Christian home, then please show them your home here on earth. If they grew up with no moral guidance, help them to discover your word. If they have been hurt by the actions of Christians or the church, help them to focus on you and the salvation that you bring. If they are burdened by guilt, show them your forgiveness and mercy and grace. If they are addicts, then release them from their burden and give them clarity. If they think that they are self-sufficient, then help them to know how temporary life here on earth is. If they fear the consequences of changing their lives, give them the courage to choose you. Lord Jesus, help us to be fishers of men. Give us the discernment and wisdom when witnessing. May our words that we speak be your words when they reach their ears. Lord, Jesus, I bring to you these people and pray that their names will be heard in the heavenly realm. Cindy Smales, Dan Ming Chen, Graham Hilder, John Harrison, Jimmy Owen, Vic Hills. If there's any more names, just please call them. Lord Jesus, we pray that the ears of these people will hear, that their eyes will see your glory, and that they will open their hearts to you. In your precious name.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to everyone. Father, we continue to pray for our loved ones, those who are far from you, Lord. Lord, would you touch them? Would you speak to them, Lord? May they hear you. May they respond to your gracious offer of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I'm going to, over the next three Sundays, I'll be looking a bit deeper at the Hebrews 2 passage. Last year, we did Hebrews 2, the 18 verses. And I think we need to look at it a little deeper. And so our text this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll just look at the first four verses. But in terms of introducing it, I want to say a life can drift. Now, those people can drift away from God. A life can drift without falling apart. Because very often we look at people and it's only when their lives literally fall apart that we think they're away from God or that they've drifted away. I'm also reminded of my mom at this time. She's late now. One day she had a carer, and then one day she insisted the carer stole a ring. She insisted that that ring is gone, and someone took it, and the only person that would take it would be the carer. And I told her, it's probably not the carer. We should just look, where did she put the ring? And we spoke about that. Eventually we found the ring. It was not the carer. But she, in her mind, was convinced, and she didn't want that carer, that lady, anywhere near her. You see, most things that are lost are not stolen. Very often, it's just neglected. If we think in terms of our own lives and the lives of people around us, another illustration would be a marriage doesn't end because of one argument, but really because conversation has stopped. And most times, a body doesn't become unhealthy overnight, but through small habits repeated over time. And faith is rarely abandoned suddenly, but slowly, quietly, almost politely, we drift away. You see, you don't wake up one morning and say, I no longer believe in Jesus. You wake up tired, busy, distracted, and without noticing, you have drifted. And so as we stand at the beginning of a new year with hopes, maybe some fears, uncertainty and fatigue, I want to remind you that God speaks to us not with condemnation, but with care. And so this sermon is not meant to scare you. It's really meant to steady you. I also want to say that the purpose of the sermon is to help us to understand why paying attention to Jesus is essential. What makes his salvation so great? And how God lovingly holds us so that we do not drift away. We do not drift. Let's look at our text. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away For since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. We must pay attention. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. And so my first point, the point I want to make, is that the Christian life is often not lost initially through rebellion, but simply through neglect. We see the writer here does not accuse the church of rejecting Christ, but he warns them of something quieter or insidious, so that we do not drift away. You see, drifting is passive. It really happens when effort stops. A boat tied to nothing will drift, even in calm water. This tells us something important. Faith does not disappear because God lets go. In other words, because God lets go of us, but because attention fades. Our attention, it fades. And when we look around, we see that many people are not hostile to faith. Very often they start to they're just exhausted by life. Economic pressure, unresolved grief or trauma, broken trust in systems, and one crisis after the other. And then faith becomes one more thing that we do not have energy for. And when we read Hebrews, we see that it acknowledges this reality. It acknowledges it without shame, and then calls us back. And so the first point is a warning against neglect. But the second point is that paying attention is not about effort. Paying attention is about relationship. When he says we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard. And maybe this is a good point to be very clear about something. You see, this warning is not about or not turning Christianity into a religion. Religion says try harder, do better. In other words, pay attention or else. See, the Christian faith is something entirely different. Religion is humanity's attempt to climb up to God through rules, rituals, and fear of failure. Christianity is at the opposite end. It's where God speaks first. And so if you look at religions, you will find that if you look at all the world religions and systems of faith, you will see that generally there's an initiation, an entrance into that religion. And then there's some training, some teaching. And at the end of that, then you have to practice. And at the end of that, there's an assessment, an evaluation. And after you pass the evaluation, you enter into heaven or nirvana or whatever it is that is promised. And if you look at religions, that is exactly what it offers. An entrance, some point of entry, either being born into it, accepting something, believing something, and then training, practicing it, keeping it, and then you are evaluated, judgment. And then you are allowed into heaven or whatever is being offered. But Christianity is not a religion in that sense. You see, because if you look at university or school, well, maybe schools are different, but you know, you have to enter. To enter into university, there's some criteria. And once you've entered, you are taught the same way that priests, ministers, rabbis, imams would teach And then you have to take a test. You evaluate it. Now, it doesn't matter how good your lecturers are or your minister is. You will sit for that test. And based on your performance, you will either pass or not pass. But Christianity is not like that. Because at the very beginning, you commit to a person. At the very beginning, you are accepted. Before any performance. You see, before we were listening, God was already speaking. And before we were seeking, God had already come near. And so paying attention is not earning God's approval. Instead, paying attention is responding to a relationship that is already offered. In fact, this is the very reason that Hebrews does not say obey more carefully. It says pay attention to what you have heard. And so Christian faith is not built on effort. Instead, it is sustained by listening. And drifting does not happen because people stop trying hard enough. It happens because voices, other voices, replaces his voice. Hear me when I say Christianity is not a religion in that sense. That you will know at the end whether you're accepted or not. No, right at the beginning, you are offered salvation. So paying attention is not about effort, but about relationship. And so the third point I want to make is, what do we mean when we read there? What do we understand by so great a salvation? It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The greatness of salvation is the reason neglect is so dangerous. And so we need to, I suppose, clearly understand what the Bible means by salvation. Because unfortunately, many people misunderstand it. And so John Lennox, some of you may have heard of him, he's a mathematician and a Christian apologist. He tells a story that helps expose that misunderstanding. He says, years ago, I met a girl called Sally. Fell in love with her and decided to propose to her. Imagine, he says, that instead of proposing, he approached her with a gift-wrapped parcel. And when she opened it, she found a popular cookbook. She thanked him politely, and he said something like this. Sally, this book is full of rules and instructions for excellent cooking. I want you to follow these instructions carefully and cook for me to a very high standard for the next 40 years. Sally, if you do this well enough, then I will consider accepting you as my wife. If not, you can go back home to your mother. Lennox says, of course, that is not how he proposed. Such a proposal would be absurd. It would be deeply insulting. It would turn the relationship into a performance. And then he makes a point. He says, that is precisely how many people think about God. They believe they must pile up merit, follow enough rules, perform well enough for long enough, and then perhaps God will accept them. But that, my friends, is not salvation. It's not Christian salvation. Christianity does not begin with rules. It begins with relationship. God does not say, perform for me, and I'll think about accepting you. He says, I have loved you first. And so salvation is not God wanting to see how well you do. Salvation is God committing himself to you before you can perform at all. And that is why Hebrews says the salvation is great. Because it's not based on our track record. Because it's based on God's grace. And so how is this wonderful salvation, this great salvation, how is it received? How does the salvation become ours? The Bible speaks of two responses. Note, I say responses. Not achievements, but responses. Firstly, there's repentance. Repentance means letting go of the cookbook proposal. Let it go. It is the moment we stop trying to impress God and admit that we cannot earn His acceptance. Repentance says, I cannot save myself. It then goes on and says, I stop negotiating. I turn away from self-reliance. And this is not self-hatred. It's honesty. That's repentance. And then there's faith. Two responses. Repentance and faith. Faith is trusting the one who proposes. The one who asks you to enter into this relationship. Faith says, I receive what you offer. I accept your proposal. I trust your love, not my performance. So repentance turns us away from earning. Faith is the empty hand that receives the gift. And so why is neglect so dangerous? Hopefully the warning is starting to become clearer to us. You see, neglect is not refusing a set of rules. Neglect is refusing a relationship offered in love. That's what neglect is. It is treating grace as if it's optional. And so Hebrews speaks to us gently but firmly. How can we afford to drift away from a salvation like that? This great salvation that is announced firstly by the Lord Himself. He comes and He makes the proposal Himself. You see, Jesus did not send the message, He came. God didn't shout the instructions from heaven. Instead, He steps into human history. And so Christianity is not about, it's not advice about how to reach God. Christianity is the news that God has reached us. We see firstly that the Lord announced it Himself, but also that it's been confirmed by witnesses. The message didn't disappear with Christ's death. Those who heard Him testified concerning it, testified to what they saw. And so, faith is not built on imagination. It rests on evidence and the testimony of others. Faith is also, it was validated, the salvation was validated by God's power. Signs, wonders, works of the Holy Spirit. It's all God saying, this is real. And so salvation is not just about forgiveness. Salvation is also about a new life, new direction, new belonging. And when we neglect this, it's not a small thing. It's really tragic. And so the efforts to reach people, as Mervyn led us in the intercessory prayer this morning, it's important. When John was talking, I was reminded of Murray's words. You know, when they started the Stellenbosch Kweekschool, the seminary, the ministers there were called dominees, or still called dominees. Like lords. Little lords. And those trained here across the road from us at the Missions Institute, Descending Institute, were called donkeys. They would take the word of God into Africa. That's what they were called. That region there where the bush is known as Donkey Bush. To neglect the salvation is not small, it's tragic. And then my fourth point is that drifting does not mean that God has failed. It means that we need anchoring. when we find ourselves drifting. Some hear this warning and think that maybe my faith is weak. Maybe God is disappointed. In fact, Hebrews says the opposite. The warning exists because God cares. And although a boat can drift even on calm water, an anchor is not for calm water. It's for movement. When the waves are tossing, God knows that life moves us. But paying attention is about remaining anchored to Jesus. Not to church habits, but to the living Lord. And so if at any point you feel that we want to, or I want to sort of get you to be a better Presbyterian or a church goer, forget that. Pay attention to the living Lord. Experience His presence in our midst. Experience Him when you pray. My last and final point is that the call at the start of the year is not to do more. You see, I so much want you to do more. I do. But the call here, and I believe the call from the Lord, is not for you to do more. Somebody pointing at me. It's not to do more, but to listen again. And so if it slips through and I start, if you feel I'm wanting to get you to do more, it's not about doing more. Start listening again. You see, God is not demanding perfection. He's inviting attention. He wants us to focus on Him, His presence, His person. And so it's not about louder religion. It's not about forced optimism. About constantly having a smile on your face. Talking about a simple posture. A simple attitude. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Let's just listen again. My friends, that is how I believe faith grows. It's how we get anchored. And it's how drifting stops. It's when we pay attention to Jesus, when we look to Jesus, and when we walk with Jesus. And hopefully we'll do that together. And so the most important truth today is this. You are not held. You are not kept by your consistency. I thank God for that, because of the majority of us would not pass. We'd not pass muster. We are not held by our consistency. And some of you are pretty consistent. But you are held by Christ. And He speaks. He's still speaking. So do not drift. And the encouragement not to drift is not because God is harsh, but because this salvation is too good to neglect. Lord Jesus, would You quiet the noise around us? Would You anchor us when we feel unsteady? Lord, would You teach us again to listen and to hold us as we walk into this new year. Lord, may we experience and know You, Your presence in our lives. Amen.
We're going to sing our last song as we stand together. Have Thine Own Way.
Snow, Lord, wash me just now, as rejoice in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, oh power, surely he's thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, on my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
I just want to remind you that for the next 2 weeks we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 2. It's the first 18 verses. I dealt with the first four. And we'll continue for the next 2 weeks. Let's receive the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now, forevermore. Amen.